We've been waiting for this for years.
How is it that you're not accountable for what your players do off the floor?
Looking up at the roof, the man has been pacing up and down on the edge.
It's not going to get better. So folks, wherever they're going to be to ride out the storm tonight, they should get there soon.
It's the WCHL 2014 Year in Review. For the next hour, we'll be looking back at the year that was in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsboro, and Orange County. Along the way, we'll count down the top 10 news stories and the top 10 newsmakers who made 2014 what it was in our community.
We further make oath that there is no legal impediment to such marriage.
And it will!
It's a whole lot easier to come out and say something's wrong than it is to say something's right.
The Crowder-Nangoro scheme marks a horrible chapter in the history of this great university.
And now, with the WCHL 2014 Year in Review, here is Aaron Keck.
The year 2014 began with a new development in the UNC athletics scandal, the threat of an ice storm, and an ongoing fight over the state's new voter ID law. St. Paul AME Church was getting ready for its 150th anniversary celebration, and AAA Carolinas said there was a chance that gas prices could drop below $3.30 a gallon. Same-sex marriage was still illegal in North Carolina. The Ebola crisis in West Africa had only just begun, and almost no one had heard of Ferguson, Missouri. That was 12 months ago. For the next hour, we're going to look back at 2014 in our community, the events, the stories, the issues, and the people that made the news in Chapel Hill. And we're going to do it as we always do by counting down the top 10 news stories and the top 10 newsmakers of the year. And we begin, as we always do, with number 10. And in a year where the national news was dominated so heavily by story after story of policing done wrong, let's start with policing done right.
We initially came out here as a response to a suspicious person call on the roof of the Hampton Inn.
Looking up at the roof, the man has been pacing up and down on the edge and occasionally sitting down on the edge with his feet dangling.
I'm looking right up on the roof, and there are several men walking back and forth.
On the afternoon of September 30th, Carrboro police got a call that a man was on the roof of the Hampton Inn on Main Street, threatening to jump. What followed was an 18-hour standoff lasting all through the night as trained negotiators slowly talked the man away from the ledge and finally off the roof to safety.
We're committed to bring this to the best resolution we can think of, and that's why we're out here.
The situation took nearly a full day to resolve, and downtown traffic was shut down the entire time. But Police Chief Walter Horton insisted they were willing to take as much time as they needed to make sure the situation ended well and safely for everyone.
Time is on our side, and I think we owe it to everybody's effort to take our time in dealing with situations like this so they can end as they did today successfully.
Our number 10 news story of the year took place in Carrboro. For our number 10 newsmaker of the year, we head to campus.
Literally the last 3 minutes of class. As I'm teaching, I see men in black appearing at the doors in the back of the room.
UNC economics professor Rita Balaban just kept reappearing in the news. On November 20th, she was teaching her Econ 101 class in Carroll Hall when police burst in to make a dramatic arrest of the student who'd called in a bomb threat to the pit earlier that day.
I was trying to act like cool, you know, just talk to the students who had questions about monetary policy, if you will.
But that was not Balaban's first time in the spotlight. A month before, on October 9th, she was teaching that very same Econ 101 class when three streakers in rubber masks came running through the room. But Balaban was not about to be upstage. As the streakers approached her, she tore the mask off one, then chased another into the hallway and unmasked him as well. Said one student in the Daily Tar Heel, quote, "She just walked in holding up those two masks in the air like a freaking rock star." That's Rita Balaban rising to the challenge and making the list as our number 10 newsmaker of the year. For our number 9 news story of the year, we'll stay on campus, but we'll also travel halfway around the world. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend reports on the Ebola crisis in West Africa and how researchers here at UNC helped in the global fight.
Dr. William Fisher traveled to Guinea in May with the World Health Organization to help battle Ebola.
One of the most difficult things about Ebola is that it doesn't just kill people, but it wipes out their families.
The disease flourished in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. A handful of cases also spread to Nigeria, Mali, Senegal, Spain, and the United States.
You know, increasingly we're becoming a much more interconnected world, and people are much more mobile. And that mobility is sustaining this epidemic.
In October, UNC administrators announced that students would be prohibited from visiting the 3 West African countries affected by the Ebola outbreak. Meanwhile, Orange County Emergency Services officials took steps to protect the public in the unlikely event Ebola emerged here.
We're being as proactive as we can. We're not going to limit our response to take care of the public.
In addition to sending medical resources to West Africa, UNC researchers stepped up with information technology as well. In November, the WiderNet project launched an Ebola Emergency Response Library initiative, featuring resources to help stop the spread of the disease in a format that can easily be shared. Health workers like Dr. Fisher continue to call on the world to do more.
I don't see this ending anytime soon, unfortunately, and I do think that we are going to have to dedicate a tremendous amount of resources in order to stop this outbreak before it gets even worse.
Since the outbreak began in March, the epidemic has infected 17,000 people and killed more than 6,300 to date. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Back in Orange County, our number 9 newsmaker of the year made the list not for what he did, but for what he wasn't allowed to do. The man at the center of the year-long fight over the future of Hillsborough's beloved historic Colonial Inn, the building's controversial owner, Francis Henry. WCHL's Danny Hooley reports.
Henry told members of the Historic District Commission that he wasn't necessarily planning to tear down the 176-year-old Colonial Inn. He said he just wanted the town of Hillsborough to make the option available to him.
This application is based on the belief that I have that a homeowner has certain rights.
But the 30 citizens who packed the town barn and the 100 who demonstrated outside on the lawn before the meeting had other ideas.
Grassy lot means nothing to Hillsborough. Preservation of Colonial Inn means everything.
The two-story Colonial Inn on West King Street was built in 1838 to accommodate travelers.
It's a very important building in Hillsborough. It's got a very long and significant history in this town, and the Historic District Commission has the authority to deny a demolition request.
Francis E. Henry, the UNC graduate who lettered in Tar Heels soccer from 1964 to 1966, has donated generously to UNC athletics over the years, and the school's lacrosse and field hockey stadium bears his name. Henry has been sued several times. Plaintiffs include an ex-landlord, former partners in the now-defunct Rathskeller, and a fraternity that sold him the historic Martin Day House in Chapel Hill. All of the litigants claim that Henry owed them money. Henry's August 6 request for demolition rights to the Colonial Inn was denied by the HDC. He has rejected all offers to buy the inn so far. As 2014 ends, the fate of the Colonial Inn remains uncertain, and Francis Henry remains enigmatic. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Francis Henry was certainly a controversial figure in Orange County in 2014. Our number 8 newsmaker of the year has also been at the center of controversial issues, but this year he made the news when the community finally came together around his long-standing cause.
We can close the doors on ideas that were birthed out of the Jim Crow era and help us as a community working together to move forward to establish a resilient community for all God's people. We are too diverse to see things in black and white.
That is Minister Robert Campbell. After the town council voted in October to extend extraterritorial jurisdiction to the historic Rogers Road area, a vote that enabled the town to fund water and sewer service to the neighborhood. The Rogers Road community is historically black, historically poor, and had historically suffered the effects of the county's landfill. Minister Campbell campaigned tirelessly for years on behalf of the neighborhood, and it finally culminated in 2014 when the towns and county moved forward on a remediation plan for the community, and the neighborhood was finally able to cut the ribbon on a new 4,000-square-foot community center. And the credit for those accomplishments goes largely to the work of Minister Campbell. At that October council meeting, Councilmember Machikowski.
I have seen the Reverend patiently arguing for really what we're about to see come to pass. I just want to say, job well done, sir.
And don't expect him to slow down anytime soon. Said Campbell at a Martin Luther King Jr. Day rally earlier this year, we cannot think for a moment that the movement is for a minute. It is forever. Minister Robert Campbell clocks in as our number 8 newsmaker of the year for his efforts to fight injustice. Our number 8 news story of 2014 was another fight on behalf of a group of people who felt wronged by the state, in this case, teachers.
The students and parents here are so supportive and have amazed me with their passion for learning. But other than enjoying the places we work, what other incentives are there for us to stay?
Public school teachers in North Carolina are among the lowest paid in the nation, and with another round of budget cuts expected from the General Assembly, teachers this year fought back. And as their movement picked up steam, the General Assembly responded. In August, the GA passed a budget with an average 7% pay raise for public school teachers, but the controversy didn't end there. Educators slammed the plan because it offered almost nothing for experienced teachers, and that meant it was still hard for districts like Chapel Hill-Carrboro to recruit or retain good teachers.
I just spoke with a candidate this morning who has 28 years experience, and she said, you know, it's just sad that my experience is not valued in the current state salary system.
A study released by Wallet Hub in late September ranked North Carolina as the worst state in America for K-12 teachers. No doubt the teacher pay issue will continue to be contentious in the coming years as well. We're 30% of the way through our rundown of the top 10 stories and newsmakers of 2014. Coming up after the break, Chapel Hill changes its face, a national controversy hits home, and we'll check in with not one but two local leaders who helped North Carolina make history. All that and more after this on the 2014 WCHL Year in Review.
I am gonna make it through this year. If it kills me,